Welcome to the Hermes Investment Podcast, bringing you up-to-date views from our team.
Welcome to the Hermes Podcast channel. You're with Simon Mum, Director of Content. A flood of recent media coverage has highlighted how society's addiction to plastics is pushing the environment to the limit. But behind the demonization of plastic lies the need for a paradigm shift in the way that we produce and consume goods. In this podcast, we discuss the concept of a circular economy and its emphasis on end-to-end sustainable production and reuse. This is in stark contrast with the linear process of production, consumption, and disposal of single-use products that defines how business is mainly done today. With me to discuss how businesses can start to make this transition and how investors can support it is Emma Burtman, an engager within Hermes EOS who focuses on pharmaceutical, industrial, and chemical companies, and who is engaging businesses on the theme of the circular economy. Emma, I'll begin by asking, why is plastic pollution a classic example of the shortcomings of the current economic model?
Well, it's really linked to a lot of the characteristics that plastic has. The low production cost, versatility, durability, because it makes it so suitable for a wide number of applications. We see it in packaging, toys, furniture, car parts. All of these are products that are widely consumed and from, especially with the packaging perspective, for a very short period of time. There are a number of concerns related to plastic. First of all, it's heavily reliant on fossil fuels as feedstock. And as you know, this is a finite natural resource. And secondly, when we look at packaging, for example, it's made and designed to be a single-use product. And that means it has never been designed to be recycled. And this feeds into the growing pollution problem with disposal of plastic into the environment. And one thing we need to bear in mind that is generally not included in when we do cost assessments is the environmental cost of plastic packaging in the environment has been estimated to about $40 billion. And this is actually more than the industry's total profits. If we look at the amount of plastic that ever been produced, and this is estimated to about 8.3 billion metric tons, only about 4.9 billion tons have been discarded rather than recycled.
So it's the durability and I suppose the flexibility of application of plastic and the fact that it's produced without recycling in mind.
Yeah.
That sort of illustrates the problems resulting from this linear economy.
Yeah.
Can you just, before we expand upon the idea of a circular economy, can you explain first what a linear economy is?
Well, a linear economy is set up as you produce goods, the goods are used, and when then at the end of the useful life, they're disposed of. And from a purely economic perspective, a linear economy works very well because it ensures ongoing demand for new products. And this promotes economic growth. And especially when demand is stimulated, they're designed to be obsolete in a short period of time. And this, of course, drives increased purchasing of additional products. However, the linear model puts continued strain on the natural environment. And this occurs at both ends of the value chain, depletion of natural resources at one end, pollution at the other. And this makes linear economy extremely problematic going forward. And another thing we're all aware of, population numbers will increase. Increased global affluence as well will drive consumerism, the availability of non-renewables, and we're talking about metals, minerals, fossil fuel. This will be strained in order to meet that growing demand. Also, the availability of renewable resources, such as land, forest, and water, will be limited to meet to the demand. And this is the problem with linear economy.
So how could a circular economy solve the stresses caused by a linear economy while enabling us to enjoy the current growth output that we've become accustomed to?
Well, that's because circular economy is focused on sustainability and being efficient. And all this already from the outset, with the maximum value of a product being extracted before it's even repaired, reused, or recycled. It requires products to be designed so that the creation, use, and reuse or recycling has minimal impact on the environment.
So even before a product is created, The product's end and how it's going to be reused is already planned.
Yeah.
Right.
And a truly circular economy calls for businesses not to just to maximize recycling and to minimize waste, but to fundamentally re-engineer their products and services with a so-called cradle-to-cradle approach. And this ensures that the maximum volume is retained throughout the life cycle of the product. And this, of course, also addresses resource efficiency. This is not only materials, but also water and energy, reduced packaging, higher recycling rates. But it also involves the consumer. And there is an increased focus on sustainability as a critical factor in their purchasing decisions.
And what, I mean, how do you see a circular economy, if it is adopted, benefiting society?
Well, I mean, at this point, economic growth is mainly driven by consumption of a physical product or perhaps a service. I think what going forward, what we'll see is another kind of profit being made in that there's a sharing economy. You no longer will own your products. There will be car sharing. Talk about what we're seeing now with music content, with video content. You no longer own the product. And that's the way we'll drive profit for the companies.
Mm. So not everyone has to own the items, essentially. It's kind of like sharing and renting.
I mean, you see the same thing with clothes, for example, now, is that you don't necessarily need to own something that you'll use twice a year, rented.
Are you aware of any companies looking at adopting any principles of a circular economy?
There are a number of companies out there. Their awareness has increased a lot over the past few years. There are really two types. One type of company has adopted circular economy principles already from the start. And Fairphone is a good example of this. So they ethical sourcing, they make sure that the product is durable, that components can be replaced.
They create mobile phones.
Yes, yes. And another actually very recent interesting example is from Total, the Dutch engineering and oil company. They unveiled a lightweight two-seater electric car just the other day. And this is actually made without any traditional plastic or metal. And it's said to be 100% recyclable. We have more traditional companies who are working to change the way they produce and sell products. Tesco's is a good example of that. They have very good initiatives when it comes to reducing food waste, and that's on the retail consumer level, but also food loss within the production and supply chain. Now, it's undoubtedly difficult for companies to overhaul their operations to adopt circular economy principles. And if you look at what are the typical barriers that they face, transitioning from a circular model will incur transition costs, but the long-term benefits are very good. Another thing is it will lead to increase or needs to lead to increased collaboration between partners. It would go back to the plastic packaging that we spoke about earlier. What is the problem with recycling today is that there is no global standard. In order for a recycling company to be profitable, they need sufficient amount of mass of plastic, and it needs to be a similar type of product so that when they sell on the recycled content, it has to hold a certain quality level. So global standards would be a very efficient way of addressing that.
But in your engagement on the circular economy, you're talking to companies about how they can change their operations, but you're also engaging with governments on a policy level to bring in things like standardized recycling policies?
Yes. no, what we do look at, we have a few examples, again, with the plastic. When, for example, the British Retail Consortium, they're providing a new edition of their standards. And one of the things that we, together with other investors, pushed for was for the inclusion of plastic pellet management into their standards. And this was actually successful. So in their revision, they will be including this. And this is one of the key drivers of microplastic pollution in the oceans.
So to circle back to something we addressed earlier, the current economic thinking is focused on growth. We're obsessed with quarter-on-quarter growth numbers. Is the transition to a circular economy impeded by this emphasis on growth, which, as we discussed before, is facilitated by a linear economic model? If companies are to take the hit to investment of investing in a different way of operating in order to achieve a circular economy, growth would definitely be impacted. Do we have to redefine what we want from the economy in order to have a more sustainable world?
Well, as we spoke about previously, was changes in how consumers use products. I think will be an important part of this, but we also need to look at the natural resources available to companies. I mean, they're finite, a number of them, and also the availability of natural resources like water and energy will be limited, and companies need to adapt to that already now. Otherwise, there will be no growth because they won't have access to these materials.
So sustainability will become an imperative and companies will make a virtue out of that necessity.
Yeah, because it is a necessity or will become one.
How can investors promote the principles of a circular economy and support companies that want to make this transition?
Well, it will require coordination. We have consumers, governments, NGOs, but also the businesses themselves. Now, as investors, we can interact with a number of these players. We can help companies by engaging with them on incorporating circular economy considerations already during the design phase of the products, but also help them improve resource efficiency, waste reduction, maximize recycling. But it's important that it occurs both within their own operations and also throughout their supply chains. And we're seeing more of this happening already. Investors can engage with policymakers and industry bodies to support regulations or incentives which encourage circular production. And finally, as investors, of course, by investing in businesses with good return prospects, which demonstrate a clear commitment to the principles underpinning circular economy.
Thank you for your time, Emma. And I look forward to keeping in touch with you as you continue to engage with companies and policymakers on this theme.
Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you for listening to the Hermes podcast. If you found it interesting and would like to listen to more podcasts by Hermes, please visit our website, hermes-investment.com, and search for podcasts. These podcasts are for information purposes only, and the views, information, or opinions expressed therein are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Hermes Investment Management and its employees. Performance should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. All the performance represented is historical. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future results, and investors may not recover the full amount invested.